I didn't say it earlier, but my name's Tyler. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's my privilege to open the Word for us this evening. Now, if I'm honest, I must admit that I tend to find Good Friday a little unsettling. Maybe I'm alone here, but I don't always feel like I know what to do with Good Friday. I find it unsettling because I know in my mentality is often to move past the harder stuff to get to the good stuff, to ignore the steamed vegetables and get right to the nicely cooked steak, to see the happy and the hopeful ending that I know is there. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're like me and you almost have to force yourself to push through the unsettled feelings because you know it's good to be here. It's good to see the difficulty, the agony, the injustice, even the brutality of the cross on Good Friday. Because I think it reveals the depths of our own darkness. At the cross, we have to face our darkness and see a God who took our place, who bore the weight of our sin, paid the ultimate price so that we could see light where there should only be darkness. As I mentioned earlier, Good Friday is a time for us to stop, to remember, to consider, even to feel the weight of the cross. The cross calls us to feel what we might not choose to feel, to remember what we might not want to remember, in order that our gratitude, our appreciation, our devotion, our love to and for Christ may increase. So we're going to do that tonight. We're going to do it simply by considering the events of Jesus' death as recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It says this: "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." The text, Luke, sets the scene. He says it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. Luke is painting a very vivid picture for us around Jesus' final moments. It was midday, the sixth hour. It was noon. And suddenly there was a unique, an obvious, and out of place, unsettling, palpable darkness, physical darkness, covering the land for 3 hours. This darkness was out of the ordinary. It's midday. It's the Middle East. It's the most intense and sun-filled time of the day. The time of the day where the sun burned hottest and brightest, and Luke tells us this sun that burns hot and bright at midday fails. And instead of light, we have darkness. Or as a commentator I thought so aptly put it, 33 years earlier at Jesus' birth, there was a brilliant light in the night sky, and here at his death, we have a palpable darkness where there should be light. As Jesus was dying, darkness fell. As Jesus was dying, the firstborn over all creation, creation itself groans and responds and begins to fail. At the death of Jesus, creation responds. Amos 8 prophesied about this. It says, "And on that day declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. And I will make it like the morning for an only sun at the end, and the end of it like a bitter day." Darkness fell on the earth while Jesus hung on the cross. And I think it reminds us of the reality that Jesus had to die. Darkness fell on the earth while Jesus hung on the cross, and it reminds us that sin is a dark reality. Darkness fell on the earth while Jesus hung on the cross, and it points us toward the evil that exists in our world and in our own hearts. Darkness fell on the earth while Jesus hung on the cross, and it calls us to grieve the injustice, to grieve the agony of what the righteous Son endured, to grieve our sin that He willingly bore for us. Darkness fell on the earth. Luke carries on, he says, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." At the death of Jesus, darkness fell on the earth. And at the death of Jesus, darkness fell off the earth. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. We have this physical darkness descending on the earth, and the curtain of the temple tearing in two is symbolizing darkness falling off the earth because the death of Jesus had opened up access to God. Darkness fell, and the way to God is now open. The barrier between a holy God and his sinful people has been removed at the cross of Jesus. The curtain tearing in two opens up the intimate access now for everyone that then was only afforded to one person, the high priest, one time a year, the Day of Atonement, to offer the sacrifice for his people. Christ on the cross was offering his body as the last sacrifice his people would ever need for their sin. God, through the death of Christ, has made the darkness that has separated him from his people fall, opening the way to the secret place that could be entered only by the blood of a perfect sacrifice. Darkness fell, and darkness fell. It's an agonizing and painful picture, one yet that demands our response. And I believe this is what Luke wants us to see. The cross was awful. The death of Jesus was a slaughter. It was agonizing. We need not just pass by it. We need to consider it, to feel it, to mourn it, to praise it, to respond to it. And Luke concludes this section with these verses. "Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." We see three groups of people responding to what they've witnessed. Jesus' death has left a mark with everyone. And the death of Jesus must leave a mark on us. I think we can sometimes fall into the habit of kind of passing by the cross on Good Friday, passing by the death of Jesus as another point in the gospel story, another Sunday school point. And we pass, if we do that, we pass by what these people have witnessed. we don't actually feel the full weight of what Christ has endured for us. We don't fully understand the depths of what this gospel has done. Isaiah 53, as Paul read, says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." John Piper beautifully and agonizingly and imaginatively draws our gaze to the cross in a section of a devotional he's written called "Pierced by the Word." I just invite you to listen, to imagine, to put yourself there as he considers what the cross was and what Jesus has done to bring us peace. He says this: "Use all your fantasizing power to see his lacerated back. 39 lashes left little flesh intact. He heaves with his breath up and down against the rough vertical beam of the cross. Each breath puts splinters into the lacerations. The Lord gasps. From time to time, he screams out in intolerable pain. He tries to pull away from the wood, but the massive spikes through his wrists rip into the nerve endings, and he screams again with agony and pushes up with his feet to give some relief to his wrists. The bones and nerves in his pierced feet crush against each other with anguish, and he screams again. There is no relief. His throat is raw from screaming and thirst. He loses his breath and thinks he is suffocating, and suddenly his body involuntarily gasps for air, and all the injuries unite in pain. In torment, he forgets about the crown of 2-inch thorns on his head and throws his head back against the perpendicular cross beam, and they drive an inch into his skull. His voice reaches a soprano pitch of pain, and sobs break out over his pain-racked body as every cry brings more and more pain." This is the cross. This crucifixion of Jesus was unlike any other that had been witnessed. Sure, we know the Roman history of carrying out hundreds, if not thousands, of executions this way, and it's been well documented. But something about this execution, this crucifixion, was different. And the centurion noticed it. He'd been around for probably thousands of these. This was a man who was ultimately responsible for carrying out the execution of Jesus. And his response was not apathy. It was not business as usual. It was not just another day at the office. But to praise God and to declare the innocence and unworthiness of the penalty that Christ was suffering. He saw it. He observed this crucifixion and witnessed something very different. And the crowds that had assembled to see the spectacle. Executions were spectator sports in these days, much like they are in many parts of the world, sadly, today. But at the cross of Jesus, the crowds were left unsatisfied. They came to see a spectacle, and they left beating their breasts, which at its least is a sign of remorse and regret, and at most is a sign of their repentance. Jesus' followers, watching from a distance, observing these things, feeling probably uncertain of what's to come, confused, scared, yet these were the same group of people that would carry the hope of the gospel outside of the city of Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. Every witness to the crucifixion of Jesus felt the weight of the darkness. And this is why we wait tonight, to feel the weight of the cross, to feel the weight of Jesus crushed for our transgressions. So my challenge for you tonight is to consider what your response to that is. Darkness fell because sin has a cost. Darkness fell because a sinless Savior had his body literally broken and his blood literally spilled to break down the barrier, to tear the curtain that kept you and I from entering into the presence of God. Tonight we remember. We remember at the table, taking the bread and remembering the beaten and broken body of Christ, taking the cup and remembering his blood spilled, poured out for us. And we invite you to come and to take if you are a follower of Jesus. But before we come to the table, I just want us to consider the cross, to consider the words of Luke tonight. We're going to do that in silence, to think, to reflect, to pray, to feel the weight of this dark day. And in time, the band will come back up, and they'll begin to play, and at that point we'll invite, we compel the servers to come forward. And then when you're ready, invite you to come and share in communion together. But first, let's take some time and consider the cross of Jesus.